You're listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly podcast looking at all things Warhammer.
Hello and welcome to episode 77 of the Sprues and Brews podcast. Was I a bit loud on the intro there?
I wasn't expecting it.
You weren't expecting it. It definitely had that facial expression there.
I knocked
you
for
six, yeah.
My name is like a banshee mask, which you're the war cry.
Yeah.
You ignore Overwatch now.
That's fine with me. Yeah.
No Overwatch.
Yeah, I just won't make the charge.
Yeah.
My name is Dave, and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello.
And Jay.
Hello.
And Matt was Jay. Matt was saying, you know, not getting involved in that.
Professional, I think the word
professional was the word I was looking for, but it just wasn't happening. It just wasn't there. So we've got quite a fun podcast this week because, I didn't know that Gamma was in the last 7 days.
No, it took me by surprise. It wasn't until early hours of the morning you pop a post up and I'm like, oh yeah, look at all the cool stuff.
I woke up and had an email and I was like, new bottles? And then, I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that in our main segment this week. Maybe Games Workshop knew we didn't really have anything in the pipeline for the main segment this week. So thought, these guys need a trade show, so they've got some stuff to talk about.
Well, there's been a few other reveals, so I forward them all together into a mega reveal medley.
A mega reveal medley, yes. We're also going to be talking about our top three deadliest creatures from the Mortal Realms.
Yeah, there's a lot of deadly creatures in the Mortal Realms.
There's a lot of deadly creatures in the Mortal Realms. And we've got quite an extended news segment. Well, no, but actually, we're going to be moving them into the reveals. We've still got other news anyway, and pre-orders and whatnot. And what we've also got is quite a big, chunky hobby update section, I think, because we've all been frantically busy painting models ready for Sunday. Do you want to tell us what's happening on Sunday, Matt?
On Sunday, we are descending down to Shavington for the Purple Sparkly Unicorns one day 40k event. I don't know what the name of it is.
People frantically typing into Google to find out where Shavington is.
It's on the Eastern Fringe.
Yeah. Has it got a name? Maybe.
It will have a name.
So, yeah, so if you go over to spruesandbrews.com or just search Purple Sparkly Unicorns, there's a full calendar of all the events they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've been going on about that a lot, but they are really fun events.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's 1,250 points worth of 40k armies.
Three games,
two detachment maximum.
Yeah, you can get a lot of units in 1,250 points, though. I was thinking, 1,250 is not much, but then building the Elder list, there's a ton of stuff.
It's a really nice points limit because you've got to pick and choose what units you have as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you want to start us off, Matt? What have you been doing in preparation for this grand tournament?
Well, we have a host of miniatures on the desk in front of us. And you know what? I might take a picture and whack it up on Twitter later on.
We are surrounded by Warhammer miniatures.
We are surrounded
today
by Warhammer. So, I have nearly finished this week's kind of batch of stuff because if you've been watching my Warhammer 366 series, I've been pretty focused, really, I suppose, of giving myself a different unit or group of units each week to paint, because then I knew I had exactly enough time to get them painted.
Yeah.
So this batch are nearly done. There's a few bits I need to finish off, but yeah, they're essentially done now. So we've got four mortifiers, which, while they weren't the greatest fun to build, they were great fun to paint because they're pretty much just silver and then some detail bits. Celestine and her Gemini, which again were really fun. They're a bit springy on the old connecting points, especially with the airbrush, with them bouncing back and forth. So
we're sweating a little bit that a rogue
just
might
a little bit,
snap.
Just a little bit. But I much prefer them than the plastic flying stands that the new kits have, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just because they look nicer. And the Exorcist, which is an awesome, ridiculous tank.
Do you know, it's almost enough to make me want to buy a Sissy on the all myself. Just that one tank.
If you look at the new Rhino chassis, there's so much detail just on that. It looks like that sprue will be included in the immolator kit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised that we've got this in the news, but I'm surprised Rhino hasn't used that chassis. But yeah, it is really super detailed, awesome, awesome kit, and it's really good in game as well.
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed painting this up.
Yeah.
Again, a few bits I need to finish off, but pretty happy with how that's turned up. Silver and red scheme, pretty much inspired by my Space Marine army.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just missing the blue, isn't it? This one looks a bit more ornate than your Iron Ravens.
Yeah.
It's nice. I like the keyboard in the cockpit there.
There's so many crazy, wacky details.
And the horns.
Hmm. Mm, very cool. Very tasty.
So I've got them done, and I treated myself to a Dalat gang for Necromunda picked them up. I picked up the Forge World upgrade kit because with some of the older Necromunda sets, you really do need those Forge World kits for the weapon options. Mm-hmm. Does not say you can't build a decent gang out of the stock box, but, you know, I wanted some cool stuff like plasma guns and the web gauntlet. You get one on the plastic frame, but it's like attached to the belt, so in the Forge World kit he's wearing it, and then you get all the various web guns, but they're really ace.
Yeah.
Basically, you roll to wound, and that's it. You don't have to take saves or anything.
That's cool.
And it's a template weapon.
That's very cool.
So yeah, so they're all sprayed up, ready to paint. Probably maybe this weekend, once these are done, get some paint on the Dalac.
Very good. Jay, what have you been up to in the hobby?
I've been putting the finishing touches on my Elder list, ready for Sunday. What have I been doing this week since the last podcast?
Hornets, haven't you?
Hornets, yeah, finishing
highlighting black.
Highlighting black, my most favourite hobby thing to do. Which is why I always leave it till the end and then regret leaving it till the end. So yeah, I've got a few. Well, I've actually not got that much to highlight now. I've got 10 shrieking catapults to highlight, 5 wraith cannons to highlight, and I've got a spear tip for my Eldar Farseer to paint. Now the spear tips in my army, I actually spend quite a long time on them. I used an article out of White Dwarf where he sort of blends the different colours together to make a cool power field effect, and I used that technique on my Wraith Seer, and I'm really, really happy with how it looks. So I'm thinking, well, my Farseer should have a similar looking weapon, so I'm going to spend a few hours doing it, even though it's a tiny little part of the model, try and get that nice effect on that spear tip on the Farseer. And then the army's done then. I've got a bit more hobbying planned until Sunday, so I want to paint... I don't know why I'm doing this, an Ordo Xenos Inquisitor. You know, I'm taking Xenos to the tournament. Why would I want to paint an Ordo Xenos Inquisitor? But I need to paint a certain Ordo Xenos Inquisitor up for a certain someone.
Shenanigans going on here.
And then I want to get started on a couple of things. Necromunda, my Enforcer gang, especially now I've seen some extra Enforcer-related goodies from recent event. And I also need to get my Contrast Challenge Seraphon up to 2,000 points. So I'm waiting for my Seraphon Battle Tome to arrive so I can look through that book. And I don't want to spend too much money, really. I just want to get the army up to 2,000 and it can compete at the Throne of Skulls, because I'm saving all of my pennies, all of my pounds, everything I've got for Lumineth Elves.
Doors.
Lumineth Elf army.
Yeah, I mean, they look really nice, and hopefully they're not too far away now either.
Very quickly, with Seraphon, are you on the Coalesce side? Without, I know obviously you haven't seen the full battle tome yet, or the Starbound.
I think I'm going to go for the Starborn. Only because I like... The Skink models, I prefer the Skink models to the Saurus models. I like the idea of a Saurus army, but my 1,000 points are all Skink at the moment, so I'm thinking I'll just build a complete Skink army. And I can't imagine... I mean, there probably is a lot of Skinks living around in the near the Mortal Realms, you know, the Coalesce Skinks, but from what I gather, the Coalesce rules seem to benefit the Saurus more than the Skinks, whereas the Skinks get the extra bravery, don't they, in a Star.
Yeah, they get lots of buffs to like the jaw attacks, which actually a lot of the Skink stuff have, so like the Stegodons and stuff.
I'll have a look through the book.
So for me, because I've been watching a few Seraphon battle reports and reading quite a bit about them, I think if I was to do one, it'd be definitely Coalesce. I think
I'd really Coalesce. Reducing the damage taken is a massive draw as well.
Yeah, by one.
Skinks only have one wound each anyway.
Yeah, this is true. But your big dinosaurs.
Big dinosaurs.
Big dinosaurs.
But yeah, there's something cool about magical space skinks, so yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, I might come back and have a full Saurus Temple Guard army.
Awesome. Well, I've also been busy. I think this is actually the first time I've been ready for an event, whether it be a tournament or our pilgrimage to Warhammer World, and I'm not rushing to finish it.
You are very much a morning of the event kind of guy.
I am very much so. One Inquisitor aside, who I've passed responsibility on, because I love the model and I really want Jay to really... Either of you paint amazing, but...
If Jay conveniently doesn't paint, does that mean he can't take the Inquisitor on Sunday?
I'm gonna snap the blade off his sword and shove a potato up his gun barrel.
So what have I been building and painting this week? Well, I wanted to get my army completed. So priority was painting 5 Vanguard, which are done. They're in that box of goodies in front of EJ.
Are they the guys with the rifles?
They're the guys with the green on the guns, and the silver helmets.
I have to say, your paintings come on like massively. You say this every time you do a new project, you're getting more and more confident with the paintbrush, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. Like a few months ago, I wouldn't have even dreamed of doing the blue on the visors, on the helmets.
Oh, yeah.
And the green on the guns.
I really like that kind of copper effect on your guns as well.
Well, I'm going to go back and redo. So all my Rangers were painted ages ago, bar one, which I had to paint one Ranger for to finish off a unit, because I've got 2 units of 5 and a unit of 5 Vanguard in the list. But anyway, I digress. I've got the Vanguard finished, so they're all based and ready to go. I did accidentally use the wrong basing material.
Did you?
Yeah, but you can't massively tell. It's still Mars, so
I think it's got the same pigment to it. It's just a different crack effect, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Looks good to me, that does it.
So I painted those 5. I painted one Ranger to fill out the rest of a Ranger squad, but I didn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we played at the club night the other night to prepare for this tournament, I spent 2 CP and bought along a Vindicar Assassin, because I've always been a fan of the Vindicar Assassin. But I thought to myself, I really want to give myself some options. So I decided to pick up an Evisser Assassin.
Ooh.
With much encouragement from my local store manager of Games Workshop. So I've decided to paint him, and he gives me, because you don't have to choose until deployment, so you can look at what kind of scenery you've got to play with in your deployment zone before making a decision.
It gives you some tactical options, doesn't it?
Yeah, if it looks like I haven't got a vantage point for the Vindicar to take full advantage of, then I might go for the Evisser instead.
I mean, a mental assassin running at your lines is pretty scary. And it looks really nice, Dave.
Thank you. Mainly contrast, that.
You've done a great job with the eyes on it as well.
Yeah.
Like I say, it's just, like you say, it's confidence that, you know, I would never have done that maybe 6 months ago or something.
So we're going to see the other 2 assassins painted by next week then?
Maybe not next week, but I do fully intend to get the other 2. Well, I'm halfway to an execution force, so
it
has to be done, doesn't it? But that's it. That's the once Inquisitor's done, that's 1,250 points of Adeptus Mechanicus and Knight.
And Imperium.
And Imperium, ready for the game on Sunday. So
nice.
Really good. Aside from that, I was tempted to spray my Goliaths, but I haven't fully decided my starter set. So what I'm going to do is build the new stuff, the Forgeborn and the Stim guys.
The Stimmers.
And then I'll spray up what I'm going to use in the beginning part of our campaign.
If you're interested in seeing those models, I believe a video went up yesterday on our YouTube channel.
Yes, so make sure you check that out. So I think we've had a very good few days of hobbying.
It has been a great week for Warhammer.
I cannot wait for next week's podcast when we get to talk about all the fun that we had at the tournament and how we all came first, second and third.
That's
the plan, right? Anyway, we're going to take a slight pause at this moment and we're going to come back with the news. And so we move on to this week's news. Now, as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, we're not going to be covering the big reveals of the last 7 days. We're going to save them for their own little part of the podcast. That is what they deserve. But what else have we had in the news, Matt?
Quite a lot. There's been quite a lot outside of all the reveals. So, next week on pre-order, we have the rest of the Adeptor Sororitas.
Mm.
So, we've been waiting, a month now, really, haven't we? January?
Yeah.
Start of January they came out with years, yeah. There's been some conspiracy theories as to why these are late. But regardless, we have got an absolute pile of kits up for pre-order. First of all, we've got the Repentia, who are the fanatic crazy ladies.
Mm-hmm.
There was some 4 different poses in the starter set. This is a new set with, I think, 9 of them, plus the leader, and the name escapes me.
Lady with the whip.
Mistress. They look really, really nice. And they are different poses to the ones in the starter set, so you'll be able to mix those in to have a varied force of them, which is cool. There's also the Seraphim and the Zephyrim, which are the jetpack ladies. One shooty, There's Inferno pistols and hand flamers in that bot in that set, and then there's the power sword armed close combat ones, whose champion can take an awesome looking banner. So I'm probably going to pick up these just to build, and then use the special weapons to change the ones at the start set. And they just look cool. They're not in any list that I've built. I think they just look ace. We've got the Immolator. So the transport slash flamer mental monstrosity with a stained glass window, because the Sisters of Battle love their over-the-top tanks.
Yeah.
Such a nice kit. Again, yeah. I think you're looking at having to spend a bit of time with the Exorcist. The chassis is exactly the same. It's just the top section is a different sprue, which has a different dozer blade on as well. So, yeah, I imagine the stained glass is probably a clear plastic piece like the canopies on the old arcades.
Right, okay.
I'm thinking contrast on them would look really good because it's a translucent paint.
The panels, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to pick up one of these.
Do you think they'll be quite easy to paint?
Yeah, I think contrast them up, they'll be fine. It has a multi-melter variant as well. I'm leaning towards multi-melter, but I'll have to have a look at the rules again because something does appeal about a massive flame tank.
I think you just drive up with the flames myself. You've got enough multi-melters in your army, whereas two of them driving up with four heavy flamers.
Yeah.
That'll, you know, make everyone stay on.
Well, even flyers, you know, with all the minuses to hit, oh, nobody cares with a massive flame cannon. So, yeah, we've also got the Rhino. This is a strange one. It doesn't use the new Rhino chassis out of the new kits. It is the existing Rhino kit for the Space Marines, with an upgrade sprue to change some of the side panels and stuff. Seems a bit of a missed opportunity to me, considering the entirety of the bottom body is its own sprue. You just need a top plate for it.
Putting my, you know, skeptic hat on, is that because they want you to kind of buy the Immolator or Exorcist kits and then just use them as rhinos?
No, because there's not parts to make it into a rhino.
No, it's missing the top part, isn't it?
So if they've made a different sprue to upgrade a traditional rhino, I don't understand why they've not made that for this. Well,
that's what you'll get in your psychic awakening.
Maybe. Maybe. We get a new rhino. Either way, it is a transport option for the Sisters that I know a lot of players have been crying out for because they haven't really at the moment, and it's kind of pointless.
And you have a lot of troops as well on foot, so it'd be nice to give them some transport up the battlefield.
Now, I'd probably go for Immolators because you've got the massive flame tank, but if you're saving points, then a rhino is a good option.
Yeah.
For my army, not so much. Argent Shroud, they just run up with their heavy weapons anyway. Mm-hmm. They don't care. Yeah, we've also got some characters. The Canoness, finally, which you mentioned on Twitter, I believe, Dave, that it's the first we've seen for a long time with a load of different weapon options.
I hope this is going forward into 9th edition, we see this.
Yeah.
What's great about the hobby is obviously getting involved in the lore and naming all the characters and stuff, but this edition has been very much about one pose characters, which is fine because they're really nice poses. If you take like the guys from Dark Imperium, you know, that Space Marine captain with their power sword and the fist, but everybody's got one. Whereas with this new Canoness kit, you've got like, I mean, there's four images showing different variants, but I'm sure that you can mix it up even further.
There's loads of and all the parts will be compatible with the really, really good Battle Sister sprue.
Yeah,
she's got so many. I've kit bashed a lot of them because I've got quite a few units, but it's really easy to do. And I think they've with the more recent kits, they've kind of had that in the back of their mind that people are going to use bits from various kits.
We spoke on the last podcast what we'd like to see in 9th edition. I would like to see multi-part HQ kits like this.
Yeah. So, yeah, she looks really cool. There's the Imagifier, which has got a massive standard. Looks really cool. And the Dialogus, who has got big speakers to transmit her prayers that she's saying.
For some reason, she just reminds me of the Joe in the Disney's Robin Hood, just as the nanny to just all the outfits she's got, the big chicken.
And then my favourite kit of this whole wave, the Battle Sanctum. So this is the scenery piece, and oh boy, it's a big scenery piece. I don't know how much this is going to be. Prices hadn't leaked as of yet. To be honest, I'm probably leaning towards the £60 point for this because it is essentially one of the new style scenery kits with a few more new bits on it.
Which are quite pricey anyway.
And it's big thing. And the big statue of Celestine, which looks amazing. They mentioned on the Warhammer community article, it does fit on the top of the Sanctum.
If you want to
make an absolutely massive scenery piece.
Ace.
I'll probably leave it separate for options, but yeah, definitely buying this regardless. Yeah. And it's 50 points, which is something we mentioned last week. Yeah. Why would you not take it in your army for 50 points? Yeah. So yeah, it looks really cool. But, you know, the big release this week that I know everybody is dying out for. It's been on wish lists forever. People are like, oh my God, when's this coming out? 28.5mm bases are up for pre-order. Now, these were introduced in Warcry, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think a few of the kits, such as the Sisters, have had these.
Howling Banshees.
It's a weird kit. I imagine the idea being that with a 25mm base, there were some shenanigans about how many people you could get within an inch of somebody in combat. So by having it slightly bigger, you're getting two. You're not getting four ranks of Gene Stealers or something in. So
I wonder if we'll see those on the Lumineth.
I imagine so. Yeah. I mean, you know what? From the 32mm base period, models look better on bigger bases. They've got a bit more room to kind of breathe, haven't they? Rather than some of those old kits were really quite crammed. I mean, even the Adeptus Mechanicus stuff, they're a little bit crammed on those bases where just the extra couple of millimetres
would make all the difference. Yeah.
So, and you know, we're not saying go out and rebase all your models. It's just nice as an option for future.
Yeah.
Which is cool. We have another big pre-order, though, on Saturday, and I'm going to be there refreshing the Games Workshop website. Because Siege of Terror Book 4, Saturnine, I'm not sure how you pronounce this, the new book by Dan Abnett. Now, spoilers, a certain character who has appeared over the Horus Heresy series in books by Dan Abnett appeared at the very end of Book 3. Jay possibly knows who the character is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say any more than that, but I imagine there's been rumours over who this character is and what big, you know, Primarch versus Emperor confrontation he might have been witness to. This, I believe, is his story. The cover art for the standard edition also features Angron clambering over the walls into the Imperial Palace, so there might be some big Bloodthirster versus Angel showdown in this one, maybe. Or it might be just leading up to that with Angron leading the assault on the palace. Either way, it's going to sell out within minutes. So if you want it, get on the Games Workshop website ASAP. This book's not even out yet, but we've also found out when the next one out. It's one of the novellas, so it's a smaller book. Fury of Magnus by Graham McNeil will be up for pre-order on the 22nd of August. You can't say Games Workshop aren't giving you advance notice for that one.
No.
Again, it's probably going to be another popular book, so I appreciate the fact that they've told us when this is out. This is set between books 4 and 5, and it tells the story of Magnus trying to find part of his soul that has been left within the Imperial dungeon.
Oh, yeah. I hate it when you leave someone like that.
Exactly. Obviously, his dad wasn't best pleased with his entrance, and I imagine the psychic backlash of that left a little part of Magnus behind.
Oh.
So, so Magnus up to shenanigans in the web, I guess. So, yeah, that's 22nd of August. That's up for pre-order. Put it in your diaries. From Forge World, we had a surprise pre-order with the Rattling Slopper.
Yeah.
So if you need some food for your gangs in the Underhive, especially if you're in one of the new campaigns which has the food system
mechanic,
where people start starving, get a slopper. You look after your gang. He's got a power ladle. It gives you +1 armour when he attacks with it.
But it does flat 2 damage.
It does flat 2 damage, yeah. It looks really cool. Some people have said it's quite expensive. It has got a nice little stove piece with it, and it's a really characterful model. People are saying you could convert something up. If you can, or power to you, but I think it looks really cool. So that is on pre-order. Hopefully, if I get it in the next couple of days, I'll get a video up on YouTube for that. Last little bit of news before we finish this segment. The Hobby Room were kind enough to send us some of their new trackers for both Age of Sigmar and 40k. So if you're like us, we like to keep a record of our games and chronicle the score and blow-by-blow of the events. And the idea with these is you can take them to an event, you can put your opponent's name, and not only can you track the score and your command points and all that kind of stuff during the battle, the way it's laid out, you've got a little memento so you can see how the battle went. Mm. I suggested it'd be really good if they were hole-punched and you have a little binder to put them in as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. They're very professional.
They're very, very nice. So Kerry from the Hobby Room has put them together. They have a really nice little feature on the 40k sheet where it's got all the deployment maps in a slightly better style to the 40k rulebook ones, because it's actually got the
distances
to get those deployment zones down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we only ever use the big rulebook really for these charts, so having them on a little sheet with all the measurements on there is going to be really, really, really helpful, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, you guys, I think this is the first time you've seen these in the flesh. What do you think of them?
I think they're very professional. I really like them. I think they'll be really handy for, say, Sunday.
So the idea is you take five of these with you. You've got five games over the weekend. Yeah. Yeah. Five of these sheets, and it gives you, that's good.
Even down to your first strike, Slay the Warlord, your major, minor draw, minor loss for Sigmar. You can track the priority with them. Yeah, I think they're going to be really, really handy.
And then, when you come to record a podcast, you've got a quick access of how you've done.
Yeah.
So someone must have gone wrong in turn three. There's definitely a swing there.
So, we'll be trying these out. We're going to do a couple of videos on these where we do some battle reports and try them out.
Yeah.
But I'll probably bring them along at the weekend as well, because I think it'll be handy to track the event.
Cool.
If you're running an event as well, it's probably not a bad idea to buy a pack of these and maybe give them out to the players to use as a score sheet.
Yeah.
To hand in at the end of games to keep it all.
So if you head over to the Hobby Room, I'm sure Dave will pop a link into the podcast notes. You can purchase these now. I think they're sending them out ASAP.
Cool. Very cool. Very good news segment, that. But that is only the start of the goodness.
It is only the start.
Because we have got plenty to talk about, so let's refresh our brews and we'll be right back. And so, new segment 1.0 is here, part of this week's podcast. Yeah, I don't know the math that's involved in that. So, we've had quite a few big reveals this week.
We have. It's been a bonanza of reveals this week.
We've had Gamma.
We have.
Which I meant to double-check what that stood for.
It is the Game Manufacturers Expo,
Gaming Association Manufacturers
Association.
Exciting reveals of stuff is what it means. So we've had that, and we've also had some more stuff for 40k and Necromunda. So where are we starting, Matt?
So we are starting with the big fight of the century. Ragnar Blackmane versus Gazgul Thraka. We finally saw the models on Warhammer Community, and oh boy, they look good.
Yeah, you just want to start an orc army and a space wolf army.
Luckily, I've got an orc army.
Yeah.
Just need to add the big fella to it.
Absolutely.
I say big fella, it's a massive model as well.
He's a dreadnought.
He's essentially a dreadnought. So lore-wise, Gazgul, his last fight with Ragnar didn't go so well. I mean, Ragnar, I think, was pretty much killed as well and had to go through the Rubicon Primaris to become new Primaris Ragnar. Gazgul was beheaded, which generally leaves with a fairly short life expectancy, but you know, orcs are quite hardy. So a grot picked up Gazgul's head, scampered off to the local doc, who goes and kind of grafts him onto a massive dreadnought body, and he's fine, nothing wrong with him.
Amazing.
Just a scratch.
Amazing. I love this model. It is so cool. That new cannon.
It's ridiculous.
That's Mork, isn't it? One's Gork and one's
Mork. One's called Gork, one's called Mork.
Well, it didn't, in the old model, he had the twin
shooter,
heavy shooter, didn't it? And this is just basically a quad heavy
four
shooter.
Four of them, yeah.
And the biggest power claw you've ever seen.
Yeah. Puts a Yarrick's power claw to shame.
It does, yeah. So, yeah, phenomenal model. I don't know if this is going to be a push fit kit, maybe, like the Chaos Lord on Lizard.
I would say more like a Badden.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. I honestly don't know. He has got some options, apparently. His head can be facing his gun or his power claw, which is cool.
Versatility.
Yeah. And he's up against Ragnar Blackmane, who's had a bit of an upgrade as well.
What a stance he's in as well.
Yeah, leaping over some bit of metal.
Frost sword?
Frost sword, isn't it? Yeah, it's got a name, hasn't it? But
yeah. Very cool. Love the position of him in. Yeah, he's ace.
I love the paint scheme they've done on this model as well. The blue armour looks really smart.
And the wolf looks really, really cool.
Well, we were saying last week that we've got to the point where plastic kits from Games Workshop are as good, if not better, than the Forge World Collector series.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, I mean, this is a phenomenal model. Now, some of the artwork in the trailer, which I think I did link in the post on the website, shows Ragnar 10 Primaris Marines versus Ghazgul, 5 Nobs and 3 Mega Nobs. That to me sounds like battle box content.
They're not intercessors, though, are they? I think they're the infiltrators.
I think they're intercessors. Primaris Marines of some flavor.
Yeah, they are Primaris Marines, yeah.
So we did hear a rumour last week about some new variant Marines with a shoulder mounted weapon.
Mm.
Again, completely unconfirmed, and it might be bobbins.
Yeah. What's interesting about that one, though, they said they were Vanguard Marines with a shoulder-mounted weapon, and in the image we've seen, they are. I think they are Vanguard Marines, yeah. So maybe there is something to that. We'll soon find out.
Yeah, I mean, they do like to keep a few surprises back. It seems a bit one-sided, one squad and a character versus two squads and a character.
Yeah.
They don't normally balance them points-wise, but you have the same number of squads loosely, don't you?
I really like battle boxes, but I want to be honest, I'd be really disappointed if... for the first 6 months or whatever, you can only get Ghazgul in this box.
A lot of people are going to buy this box regardless, aren't they?
I know. And it'll be really good value.
That does tend to be the release strategy with new characters now, putting them in battle boxes, because you're buying a £100 box rather than a £30 character.
Yeah. We've not seen one with a model of this scale.
Well, arguably the Stark Collecting... This is why I mentioned the Chaos Lord on Lizard. The Stark Collecting box is essentially a character of that size. He seems like the size of the Hellbrute out of a previous 40k starter box.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's push fit. The technology they've got now, you wouldn't know the difference.
No. The both models are absolutely fantastic. They've been bigging these up and justified...
Really? Now, of course, we might be completely wrong and there's not a battle box and these characters available separately. Just all the imagery from the trailer just screams battle box to me.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, yes, that's really, really cool. That is out in March. So, we know Sisters are pre-order this week. Wouldn't surprise me if the following week is this up for pre-order.
Yeah.
Really.
Along with Saga of the Beast, the latest Psychic Awakening book.
Yeah. Coming out alongside it. So, yeah, that's really cool. If you want to get started, I believe there is now a Space Wolf Start Collecting box you can get.
There is, yeah. You get some Primaris Intercessors, some Aggressors, and a Dreadnought, and the Battle Leader.
Yeah, so it might be worth picking that up if you do want to do some Space Wolves.
Yeah.
Because they might be the new hotness in the new book.
Yeah.
For Gamma, we had an absolute load of reveals. So for Necromunda, we saw the next book in the House series, House of Blades. This tells us about the Escher and all the antics they got up to. And in the same way as the Goliaths, we get a load of new plastic kits with it. Now, these next three kind of unit choices, I believe, are going to be in a single plastic box in the same way that the Goliath Stimmers and Juves are. So we've got the Death Maidens. There are two models, which seem to be based on the same kind of pose.
Yeah.
These are dead Escher who have been resurrected using their various drugs and technology. Mm. They look pretty freaky.
They do look very freaky.
Zombie Escher.
They look a bit Dark Eldery or a bit Chaos Cultist-like.
Well, that's it. Now, there could be some lore implications that they're using Xenos technology to resurrect these people.
Personally, I think they've been taking fashion tips from Lady Orlando.
Yeah. They are,
from Age Sigmar.
And they look really cool. Some people don't like these. I quite like the concept of...
They're very different to the rest of the Escher models.
Right.
Well, you say that, but there is Kira the Huntress. There is a character who is a Death Maiden in the Gangs of the Underhive, which is right next to me. I could look in there, but yeah. There is precedent for it. I think they look really cool. There's also the Wild Runners. So these are Huntresses who hunt in the Underhive. They've got like bows and arrows and stuff.
Katniss from the Hunger Games.
Pretty much,
These look real, with the poison sort of tips on it.
So again, where the Death Maidens might be the champion equivalent, I think these are going to be the Juve equivalent. They send these out to go do hunting. I'm not sure what there is to hunt in the Underhive. Really big rats and some crocs, but yeah, they look really, really cool. And then there's the Felix, who are really colourful cats. So all of these models, if you look at the pictures on Warhammer Community, you can see the duplicated poses. And like we said on the video that we did for the Stimmers, Necromunda, you tend to get two identical sprues in the box. That just seems to be how they put it together.
Yeah.
So you'll probably get two Wild Runners, a Death Maiden and two cats in each sprue, and then there'll be some different parts to be slightly different.
But that's what's really good about the new kits, though, is they give you a multitude of heads or whatever to make them look different.
So they look really, really cool. I've got some Escher from the original box from way back that are built but not painted, so I think I'm going to fit some paint on these in preparation for this coming out. But if you're not Escher, there's also some reveals for some other characters. So we have got Rattus Tatterskin, who is a Cawdor character. He's really cool. He is armed, and I quote Warhammer Community, he is armed with a heavy stubber and rats. So I think they're all like crawling over his shoulder and nibble people. He looks really cool. I imagine he's a resin kit from Forge World. We also have Scrutinator Primus Cerulean, who is a null. She's a enforcer. She's a null, and she has a Cybermastiff. So it's very similar to one of the concepts that we got in the Sisters of Silence list from Forge World for the Horus Heresy.
Yeah.
Essentially a pack master who goes out hunting witches and then sicks the dog on them, which is a great idea.
Are there any psychers in the Necromunda?
There are. The Chaos Cults and the Genius Dealers can take psychers base, and a lot of other games can hire in psychers.
Okay, cool.
So, they could be quite powerful. So having a Norn who can hunt them down is pretty cool.
I really like the Enforcers, and I was kind of glad when Jay went Enforcers because it made me go something different. But once I finish my Goliaths, I am 110% getting a gang of Enforcers with this lady.
So she's got two head options as well. One with a helmet and one kind of with a helmet off.
Yeah.
And she looks really, she's holding a torch. It's such a cool pose.
It is nice,
Again, this is probably a resin kit. Do you know when these are out? Possibly quite soon.
Yeah.
Maybe. For Warhammer Underworlds, we saw a brand new gang, Morgroth's Blade Coven. And these are Daughters of Cain.
Lovely model.
They are really nice mixture of different Daughters of Cain models in this as well.
Yeah. See, I would never collect the Daughters of Cain army. It's just not my... I don't know. I'm just not a fan of the army. However, I could totally see myself getting a box of these and painting them because they're such lovely models, especially that hag.
Well, you've got a hag, you've got some witch elves, you've got a snake lady, and you've got the other build, Sister Slaughter, yeah?
Yeah.
Really, really nice. I imagine they're going to be a fragile but aggressive gang, I guess.
Yeah, because you've got... It's towards the upper scale of model count for Underworld, which is good. Excuse me, because we've seen a lot of elite ones just recently.
We have,
Nurgle only has three guys. The Brutes that were recently announced has only got three guys.
Yeah.
The Ogre, which is an Ogre, just some little nubblers. Ripper.
Yeah.
So it's nice to get a big unit.
They're going
to
be very fragile, I imagine, but probably devastating when they get in.
Yeah.
So it'll be cool. And it's good to see some more Underworlds love. With that, I think that's all of the Underworlds. I think we said this last week. We'll see these within the next 3 months, and then probably towards Warhammer Fest, maybe, start to see the next season.
Yep.
I think it's been super popular, hasn't it? So yeah. I think they're going to be churning these out.
Yeah.
Yep, for Adeptus Titanicus, we saw some really, really cool stuff. Plastic, Knight Archeon, and Knight Castigators. So they round up the missing Knight variants that we've not got at the minute. I mean, I love the full-scale 40k ones. The plastic variants look really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, we've currently got rules for them. I think they're on the terminal, aren't they?
I think they are, yeah.
So we've just been waiting for the models to come out. A lot of people have converted them up.
Yeah.
But, it's good to have the official plastic model.
Yeah, these look lovely, especially the one... Is it the Archon that's got the sword?
That's the Castigator, I think. I want a couple of those, I think. I've always liked the Castigator.
Yeah, I mean... I'm going to be getting these to paint up anyway, but as a plus, they can go in the army as well.
Yeah.
It'll be really cool. This is coming out alongside a new source book, The Defensive Riser, which is a Forge World. I don't know what happened in Riser during the Horus Heresy. I didn't look before we started recording, but it is a Forge World. Now, the cover of the book shows some of the Mechanicum Knights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe we could get an upgrade sprue for the current knights, for the Mechanicum variants. They've got some different weapons and some different headpieces, so again, more options for your knight armies, perhaps.
And this book also includes rules to create your own household as well.
And create your own legio. Mm. So I imagine there's going to be some official legios in there, but it has got the creation rules. Now, there was some in White Dwarf. These are probably more finely tuned and let you finally bring a Legio Ignatum army. Because that's what, we all want, let's face it.
Well, they've just recently got transfers, haven't they?
They have, so hopefully they're in this book. Again, lore-wise, they're defending. They were on Mars and then they were defending Terra, and they're in the Webway, so we probably won't see them till the Siege of Terra. But at least I can make some standby rules with this. People are speculating, could we see the corrupted knights in here? Because they are mentioned in the profile for the Psi Titan. Again, that's probably nearer towards the Siege, personally. Mm-hmm. And I think the new kits for this are the new knights, aren't they? I think once we get to Terra, that's pretty much all the Titans done, bar the big, you know, Imperator Titans, which hopefully we do get, maybe as a big, you know, knight-sized kit. But then, I suppose the only thing to make then from the Heresy are the Traitor Titans, so the proper corrupted Titans, and then, you know, if that Siege of Terra, that leaves us open then for Xenos, I suppose, in the future.
Yeah.
So as the timeline moves on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So that's pretty exciting. The Adeptus Titanicus books are really nice as well for the lore as well as the rules, because rules-wise, there's not, you know, a great deal of content in them. A lot of it is telling the story of, like, the Battle of Kalth and, you know, that kind of thing. For your Heresy fans, you know, they all love the lore.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. For Age of Sigmar, there's a little announcement, Jay.
I don't think we really need to cover this part, do we? I think we can just skip past it, maybe.
The Lumineth Realm Lords are on the way, and we saw some new models, Jay. So, first of all, there was the Aurelian Sentinels.
These are, I think, my favourite model from the entire range that we've seen so far. These are the archer units.
It's like a composite longbow, but with like multiple kind of strings to it.
Yeah, I love the armour style, I love the poses. The unit champion sort of standing, holding the sword behind her back. I love the colour scheme. I'm really blown away by
the birds,
the banners. Such a smart kit.
Now, something was mentioned in the Warhammer Community article, they've sculpted the entire range so the wind's blowing in the same direction. So when you line them up, all of their uniforms, all of their cloaks, all of the banners, all of the smoke and kind of magical effects are all blowing in exactly the same direction.
It's an OCD collector's dream, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Unless you've got a unit facing the wrong way.
Yeah, they're facing back to back in a cyclone.
But yeah, I mean, that's some attention to detail to make sure that on your shelf, your army looks spectacular.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're really nice. They've had some mixed reviews online. Some people really don't like the bow thing and think they look better with that snipped off.
I think it's quite... I think with Age of Sigmar, a lot of the factions have that sort of unique looking, sort of gimmicky like theme, and I like it. I think it makes it look different than a regular elf archer.
Do you think we'll see this kind of bow scaled up then for the Siege engine?
Well, in one of the, was it one of the lowdown articles or another article on the Warhammer community, they mentioned it, no, it was in the Wrath of the Everchosen. They mentioned sleek war machines, so they're going to have some sort of
massive bolt thrower.
I think so.
But it wasn't just the Sentinels. We also had the most chilled out looking character I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, the Alarith Stone Mage, who is an elemental wizard. Now, we had, again, a previous Lumineth lowdown said that they use elemental magic, don't they?
Yeah.
This guy seems to be an earth wizard.
The mountain. Mountain.
So, do you want to describe what the model looks like?
He looks like a monk, doesn't he? A Zen meditating on top of an elvish column. I think we saw the base of this in one of the rumor engines,
we sort of thought,
ah, that looks like it's the bottom of some of a model, and it is. So he's sort of sitting there dead serenely on top with his staff laid across his lap. You can see underneath him the rocks are sort of being that he's sort of bouncing on. Look like they're being manipulated with magic. And
between the pose of this guy and the rocks looking really thinly, sort of coming away from the base.
Yeah.
I mean, that model and then the new Elferic, the magic that they are doing with these kits at the moment is crazy.
I mean, it's such an incredible model. It is again some kind of sprue wizardry going on. So we've got the base, we've got the levitating rocks connected by just a few kind of stones, and then a column, and then here attached to that, I think the cloak is attached to a tree just for a bit of support, but it just, the engineering in these kits is so good.
And
he's got a big hat, which is a plus.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. People have been complaining, I think. Not complaining. People have different opinions on models, don't they? Whether they like the big hat or not. I love it. I think it's such a unique, distinctive looking, but it's still elvish.
And it's got that. They've all got kind of like Eastern vibe to them, but it's not like just it's lots of elements of Eastern culture into the look of the dress and the hats and stuff.
Yeah. I think this guy, like I say, he's a mountain mage. He uses he can buff elvish units around him.
Yeah, mentions, yeah.
And also uses gravity to bombard the enemy. That's so cool. It'd be interesting to see. I think what really sparked my interest with this model is this is a mountain mage. They mention the river, the zenith, air, I think.
We did speculate way back in the first one that could we see a type of wizard for each element?
Yeah, I would, if I had to put money down on that, I would say yes. But one thing that means then is that this is going to be a massive release because we're going to have so many kits.
Or they're just teeing this up for future content.
Perhaps,
we might not get all the elements in one wave. Chambers, Stormcast Chambers are a perfect example.
Yeah.
These guys might be a lot of the Earth-based stuff, and we might see another chamber open a year down the line where we get a whole bunch of new
they could be in the lore, but they're elsewhere doing stuff that means they can't come to battle at the minute.
Yeah,
but,
possibly,
you know,
yeah.
In
yeah.
the next book they'll turn up because the elements have shifted.
You
could be right there. You could be right. I did notice on the banners we've seen I think two different elements though. We've seen the griffin, the phoenix type element, which I'm assuming is wind or fire or something. Yeah. But we've also seen the bull. This is like a bull type motif on the banners for the mountain. So I wonder if there'll at least be two elements.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if this is a massive release.
Could be.
You know, if you think this would be, if you think of the Bone Reapers, you've got about four different caster models as blister packs.
Yeah.
There's your four wizards.
Yeah.
Plus a couple of big kits for your characters.
Possibly, yeah.
I just can't wait to see Tyrion.
Assuming there is Tyrion.
Yeah, we don't know that Tyrion's coming. I mean, the only thing that still gives me hope that we might see a Tyrion is one of the rumour engines, the big horns, it was split into two. Now, that one has one horn on either side of his head. Teclis has one horn on either side of his head. There's not been a horn. The Selenor, the Spirit of Heesh, has got one horn. We've not seen that rumour engine where the horn splits into two. That could be another big kit. It's going to be a generic monster kit, or it could be Tyrion. We don't know.
And you know what? Everyone likes dragons. We could see a big dragon kit for the Luna for the Ace.
I don't whether we will see dragons or not. I don't know whether there's been. I don't know. Maybe we will see. I mean, dragons you always associate with elves, but I wonder whether we'll see dragons come later on with maybe Malkeith's faction.
Yeah,
I was thinking to myself, like, every army now has some kind of big monster, but I kept forgetting that Teclis has got a big monster on his base, hasn't he?
Yeah, but
so that kind of ticks that box a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean the other thing is we saw, because I mean these weren't the only models we saw. They also showed two other sort of snippets of miniatures.
The really interesting one with like a veil over a face,
yeah,
which could be again another wizard, maybe like a wind elemental.
A wind element, yeah, could be a wind. I've seen some people online start talking about whether she is actually part of a bigger base, similar to like Kartakras.
Yes,
and so whether she makes some sort of council on a base there, and maybe that's Tyrion, you know, going to war with his
entourage.
Who knows? And there was also like some sort of pot. Chalice or
yeah.
pot.
Well, yeah, people were speculating, could that be part of the Daughters of Cain warband? But there's no element like that in there, so that now leans heavily towards something elvenish.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. It's hopefully at the Adepticon reveal in 2 weeks' time, we see the rest of the range revealed, because we can't be too far off release now.
I think now, yeah, we've seen all of Underworlds. Sargon of Beast is now out, or it will be by that point in time. The Lumineth have got to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, we'll see that in 2 weeks. Maybe pre-orders go up that weekend.
Maybe
pre-orders go up the weekend after.
We always suspected Easter time's a good time for release, just because that's how the you know, people are spending money at certain times of the year. You want to time releases to coincide with them. Financial year ends April, I think, for Games Workshop, so it's a good bet.
Let's be honest, Matt. Me and you just want the Lumineth to go on pre-order so we don't get our daily Lumineth out yet post.
And we get to kill Lumineth.
But
yeah, it looks really cool. But that wasn't all the reveals.
We're not finished.
A final little tease for 40k from the load of reveals we've had. And it is the Spider.
Mm.
Now, we'd heard rumours a while ago about a Psychic Awakening book about the Spider. which we assumed was warp spiders because, you know, they've got quite old kits and the rumours were custodians and harlequins in the webway. Okay, maybe we got the warp spiders in there somehow. But it seems we were barking up the wrong tree. Mm. The wrong kind of, like, flesh-crafting tree entirely. Mm-hmm. There's a tree... the picture on Warhammer Community is of an assistant to the character known as the Spider at the minute. But they show that in the trailer, kind of collecting all this stuff together, that it's Fabius. Yeah. Fabius Bile.
Yeah.
Fabulous Bill. And yet it's, you know, with his cloak stitched from human skin. We've got a very purple backpack, Space Marine backpack. Mm. It's the big man himself, isn't it?
It is. We grabbed a screen grab for the post from his back, and that is the biggest giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah. You see the cloak, don't you?
If it wasn't for that, the assistant, it could be Drakari, maybe. There's elements of that there, which ties into the flesh crafting thing, because it suggests that maybe that's what he's been doing in the webway, kind of, you know, finding new ways of fleshcrafting people. We know that Fabius Bile has, your mate Belisarius Kor, he's got aspirations of creating Primaris equivalents, and I imagine Abaddon would want that kind of technology. So whether the storyline is him trying to claim Gene Seed, we can see that in the model up we've seen. Jay mentioned maybe he's after, you know, the raw genetic material of Custodes, maybe, if they're involved in this campaign.
If they're in the same book, yeah, with them now being more, they're out in the galaxy fighting a lot more on the front lines again, whereas for the last 10,000 years they've not, so... Yeah, so this came completely.
But the day before, we'd been talking on WhatsApp about who the adversary could be in this book.
Yeah.
The Necrons were thrown out there, the Death Guard were thrown out there. We never thought it'd be the Emperor's Children.
I didn't think it would be the Emperor's Children. But I mean, it does make sense because the Death Guard have got their book, the Thousand Sons have got their book, the Emperor's Children haven't got a book. No.
So, I mean, and this is it. Is it just Fabius Bile? Or. Are there going to be some more Emperor's Children kits coming down the line?
Noise Marines, Fulbrim, Primarch.
I think in 9th edition we'll see the Emperor's Children fleshed out. What I think they're doing is obviously the whole point of Psychic Awakening is building up to 9th edition. I think Fabius Bile, like you've just explained, Matt, will be a key player in what is going to happen in 9th edition. So it makes sense for him to have a new plastic kit ready for the launch of, like, Gulliman. You know, not quite that scale, but...
But it was in the equivalent series for the last edition.
Yeah. So
they said that we went to the seminar, and pretty much the point of this whole thing is to get those old characters up to date, because a lot of them are old metal kits, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'd really love to see new Noise Marines and new Fulgrim, but I think you're probably right where we'll see that in a codex for 9th edition.
Yeah, possibly.
And just the threads here. Because they can easily have, you know, a Chaos Space Marine army that's dedicated to Slaanesh as the adversary in this without having Noise Marines. I mean, there's currently Noise Marine kits anyway.
Yeah, there's all kits, yeah.
And we think that we're probably going to see Talons of the Emperor in this book as well. Hopefully folding together those two armies.
Yeah. So that leaves the Harlequins, Necrons, Death Guard and Death Watch as the only ones that haven't had a Psychic Awakening yet. Whether we see any elements of them in this book or not, I don't know. Harlequins would make sense if it is a war in the Webway. The Spider in the Webway. Don't know. I think Harlequins would go well against Fulgrim, with Fulgrim and Slaanesh, the Harlequins being the adversary of Slaanesh. So, I mean, this is really, really surprised me, so I'm really happy about this. I think it's great that these old kits are getting new models. I just didn't expect Fulgrim to...
It's great that we're getting some surprises. You know, in the age of the internet where things leak really quickly, I think recently Games Workshop have been really, really good keeping the lid on some of these surprises.
Yeah. Only letting people see what they want them to see.
Yeah.
So
that has been a bumper week for reveals that we really didn't expect to get.
Not at all. I think we had reveals last year. It's just they haven't normally put like a banner or something on Warhammer Community to say this is happening.
Oh, they've kept this very quiet.
They've kept it very, very quiet.
I think it made it have more impact because it was, you know, get up in the morning like, oh wow, look at all this new stuff.
Yeah. I just saw the email and I was like, oh, what's going on there? So, yeah, some fantastic stuff. More stuff we need to buy.
Well, I'd say in 2 weeks we've got the biggest seminar they've ever done at Adepticon, which is clocking in at 2 hours, they say. Now, again, disclaimer, that may include some of the Warhammer Storyforge output in there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if, you know, the last quarter of that is the first episode of whatever the show. But still, I think we'll see the Lumineth 9th edition, maybe. A proper look at Fabius.
Oh, I definitely think we'll see Fabius in his full gory glory.
Yeah. So, yeah, exciting time. So, we'll be reporting on that as it happens.
Fantastic. Right, that is that segment done and dusted. It's time to move on to the top three. Okay, so it is this week's top three, and we're looking for the deadliest creatures in the mortal realms. And you were spoiled for choice. There's tons of them.
Most mortal realms is fairly dangerous, isn't it?
Now, I've tried to be a little bit different with mine.
Have
ish,
you?
Ish. I say ish. We'll see how it goes. So I'm going to start off this week.
Okay.
My third choice is a rat.
A rat.
My third choice, because I'm taking deadliest here, so there are some very deadly creatures, you know, big, massive monsters and stuff, but I think the deadliest things are those that could spring up any time, that aren't necessarily massive. So my third choice is a Skaven Assassin.
Ooh, that is pretty deadly.
Because it's a creature, it's a rat.
Technically.
There could be one in this room right now.
I think there probably is, to be fair.
So, I mean, that is pretty deadly. Yeah. And, you know, if you're stabbed by a Skaven... Well, you don't even know if you're stabbed by a Skaven Assassin, because you're dead.
He's long gone by the time
he's long gone. He's on to his next assassination by the time you've hit the ground.
Yep.
So my third choice is a Skaven Assassin.
Like it.
Your third choice, Matt?
My third choice is a horse.
A horse.
A certain horse in particular.
Yeah. A horse, in inverted commas.
So Dorgar, the steed... of Archeon, the Lord of the End Times, the Grand Exalted Master of the Apocalypse. He was a horse at one point.
At one point, now he's more like a chimera.
He survived the end of the world.
Yeah, he did.
He was attacked by a bloodthirster, a great and clean one, and a keeper of secrets. And he... A Lord of Change, sorry. And he ate them.
I'll tell you what, actually. I can believe he used to be a horse, because whenever I play Matt in Age of Sigmar... his horses tend to do better than the guys on top. So it completely and utterly makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So the side effects to eating three greater demons, it seems. And he turns into a massive, monstrous beast with all the heads of these greater demons. And, yeah, he's remained as Archeon's valiant steed.
Mm. Valiant. Deadliest steed.
Deadliest steed. Massive winged horse monster.
Your third choice, Jay?
My third choice, and it's quite... current as well, I think, is the mighty Carnosaur.
Mm.
You know, almost like a T-Rex. T-Rexes are pretty deadly. The Carnosaur has some cool rules. Well, it used to. I've not seen the new rules, actually. They may have changed.
Wow, he's had a bit of a buff in damage, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has.
Interesting.
5 damage on his bite.
Flat 5 damage, yeah.
That's impressive.
His amount of attacks has dropped.
Yes, but there's ways to give him more attacks.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I think he used to get, like... as soon as he'd wounded something, he couldn't control them anymore. He used to charge. He had to charge, but then he got buffs as well. He could pin units down with his jaws and claws. I used to get buffs fighting creatures that were bigger. He's a proper monster hunter. And it's such a nice kit. I mean, I remember the original metal kit that came out with... what was his name? Krokgar, was it?
Yeah, the character with
the sun gauntlet. And, I mean, that was a really, really cool kit. But then they released the plastic Carnosaur kit at the end of 7th, was it? Carnosaur.
You can just imagine him standing there roaring as a balance as when dinosaurs ruled the earth, flushing down behind him.
Yeah, fantastic. My second choice. I know I just said in my third choice that everything of mine was quite small, but actually I've told you a big old fib because my second one actually is quite a big model.
Okay.
And this is down to more of a personal fear,
which
makes
fear.
It dangerous.
Okay.
See, I have a fear, Matt and Jay.
Of spiders.
So to me, a massive Ragnarok spider would be incredibly deadly.
You wouldn't want to see one of them, would you?
I definitely wouldn't want to see one. I'd rather face a Carnosaur than a Ragnarok spider, because it's all my worst nightmares all in one deadly.
They are pretty deadly with the amount of mortal wounds they can do with them.
Goblin
well.
Carrying spider.
Yeah, you don't mess with that.
No. Definitely not.
It's a cool name as well for an orc unit. The Arachnorok.
Arachnorok. So that is my second choice. So a bit bigger than a Skaven Assassin. Your second choice, Matt?
Well, my second choice, we go beneath the waves, or beneath the magical illusionary waves, maybe, of the Illumineth Deepkin. Illumineth? Ideneth Deepkin.
The Lumineth. Let me talk to you about Lumineth.
So there's various sea life that, you know, live beneath the waves, but the deadliest of them all is the Leviadon. A massive death turtle offering buffs and saves and support to all nearby fishes. I know it's been a thorn in your side in some battles, Dave.
It has. It battered my iron jaws.
With that command ability that lets it fight twice or something.
You can give it like extra attacks. And
does it, is it like if it wounds on a 6 or something, it's just 6 mortal wounds?
Yeah, it can hurt. And yeah, there's ways to give it more attacks. Yeah. So it can really hurt if it looks in its side.
I think it one hit my brutes.
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in the battalion I take, it throws out rerolls to nearby units as well, which is really, really handy. Yeah, the Leviadon, it's ace. We were at the doubles event last year, and there was two guys dressed as Ninja Turtles that had 4 Leviadons between them.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was cool.
That's very cool. Your second choice, Jay?
My second choice for the second most deadliest creature in the mortal realms belongs to a tiny little grot that sits atop a mangler swig. And this particular grot is that deadly, it can kill Arcane the Everchosen.
This is true.
Is a grot on top of mangler that Matt had the opportunity of fighting.
Yes. The misfortune of fighting.
The misfortune. It was one of the Purple Sparking Unicorns events, wasn't it? And this little grot who could slew Arcane the Everchosen.
Yep.
You cannot get more deadly than that.
That is fairly deadly. I mean, Archeon still really hasn't gotten over it. He's got a fear of squigs now.
Fear of squigs, or a fear of grots.
Fear of grots. Grots on squigs, specifically.
Yeah.
So. Even Dorgo was like, oh!
So, I mean, the facts just speak for themselves. I mean, if Archeon was the third, Matt's third most deadliest creature, the grot killed Archeon, so it's going to be...
That figures, doesn't it?
You've kind of touched upon my top choice, Jay. My top choice. See, a lot of big monsters in the Mortal Realms, they're monsters, but, you know, some of them are they're big, but, you know, they're territorial, or, they're being forced to fight and stuff like that, but maybe they're not so deadly if you just leave them alone. Do you know what is always angry? I know, its sole purpose in life is just to eat and to cause mayhem. And that is your humble squig.
A squig. And a squig is a ball of rage and teeth and hunger, isn't it?
You don't need to have gone into his territory. You know, he doesn't need to be coaxed into going to fight. He's just, that's all he wants to do. He's just hungry. He's just a very, very angry little, I mean, mangle squigs are pretty scary, but I think a big horde, or even just a squig on his own, man, they're just.
You mean you could get the big? What's not the mangle? What's the bigger one?
The Gargantuan squig.
Yeah, I mean that one. When you kill that one, it turns into even more squigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when you're out in the mortal realms, I've never been, so can't really tell you. But your chance of bumping into a big scary monster is probably, you know, not great. But squigs are probably more. You know, they're going to be about a lot more, and that's going to make them more deadly because there's so many of them.
And you know, they can be, you know, quite covert as well.
Yeah,
you're walking down the street, you see an orc, he's got a beard. Oh my god, it's this beard squig, and it bites your face off.
Yeah,
beard squigs,
chin squigs.
Can't forget about bat squigs, can we?
Bat squigs,
rock squigs. Oh,
just all the squigs.
Yeah, terrified now.
So there you go, my top choice is the humble squig. Matt, your top choice?
Well, my top choice was the little grot who could.
Ah.
Kerry's humble little grot who slew the Slayer of Kings.
I'm glad it's that. I'm glad you chose him, because, I mean, I don't want to fight that. I mean, when I've got my Tyrion on his dragon, and I see Kerry put down that grot.
When that grot's got the Eye of Shireen, I can see the future. Yeah. And presumably he's got a massive demon horse now as well. So yeah, he was my choice. I need to get revenge on this
rock. How did he kill Archeon? How did he do it?
Stabbed him in the knee.
Mental.
Did you Slayer of Kings just fail you?
So what happened is that, you know, I thought, okay, we'll put the Slayer of Kings on the squig. I can kill that.
And what looks like the most deadliest thing on it.
And then Dorgar can take out the unit of squigs we're fighting. It'll be fine. Dorgar went, and killed like two squigs. And Arkin just missed with all his attacks.
Dear me. With rerolls.
He thought you needed to do a couple to just kill him on the sheer amount of wounds he can put out. But yeah. He just failed at life, unfortunately. So, to be fair, he deserved to be killed by a tiny little grot.
Yeah.
This little grot's got a lot to answer for.
I'm actually quite nervous about my number one deadliest creature in the Mortal Realms. Okay. Whether it actually could take on that grot or not, I don't know.
Probably not.
I might choose the grot again as my number one. My number one most deadliest creature in the Mortal Realms, and there's no contest here, you cannot dispute this at all right, is Gotrek.
Gotrek. Gotrek is a dangerous creature.
He is a monster.
Not really a creature, though.
You tell that to his face.
Well, I wouldn't tell that to his face. No.
He is a machine. He's unlike any other dwarf. The amount of damage he can do on the table, in the books, in general. Although I don't know whether he would be able to stand up to that grot on the squig or not.
The squig would have him. The grot would have him, sorry.
Possibly. Maybe we have to try this out.
Yeah. I think we should for a fun YouTube video. That'd be ace. Yeah. Excellent. Some very oddball choices in there, guys. You know?
Yeah.
But we've also opened this question to the community. So whilst we prepare our data slates, we'll get ready for this final segment. And here we are, the final part of this week's podcast. It's time to take to Twitter and find out what your top three deadliest creatures are. Matt, far away.
So, Fabius Fulgrim, speak of the devil, says retro, but Deathfang. Now, wasn't he the mount of Carl Franz? The old griffin.
Deathfang, was he? Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe he was.
I think he was, yeah.
There's a cool model like that model. It was really nice. Dazmore says Terrorgeist. Gristlegore, obviously. Yeah, me and Jay went. Gristlegore, Terrorgeist.
I remember those.
Bull Centaur Toruk. Me and Dave have got thing. Yeah. And a Stonehorn. So tough to take down.
Mm.
Yeah, there's some good choices from Daz there. Sombermine, a Moorcrusher, a Star Drake, and a Carmine Dragon. They really love dragons, does
the
it?
The Carmine show? Dragon's nice, I like that.
Such good. Actually, can you even get that?
I don't know.
Wizard on the top as well, didn't
it? It did, yeah. Build. I love that model. Yeah.
My experience with that Star Drake is it's not very deadly, but maybe I just had a bad experience with that Star Drake.
Maybe. Chris says the Moorcrusher, the Magma Droth, and the Carnosaur. Well, you can't go wrong with a massive fire dragon monster thing that bleeds molten fire on you.
Yeah.
Elkureb? Apologies if that's incorrect. It says dragons of all varieties, the Carnosaur and Colossal Squigs.
Squig, that was the
that Bumble Squig in that same the same match. Bumble Squig did well. Mousebait says probably the Immortal Ones. Yeah, they're probably going to be a pain in the Mortal Realms, aren't they? All points, Jamie. Well, number three, any rideable animal slash beast. Number two, Gotrek. Number one, Kerry Robson's little grot that cut.
I'm really glad he's got this lasting legacy.
Yeah, I'm never going to live this down, am I? No,
definitely not.
So yeah, Colin Taylor says a Gorgon, a Magma Droth, and a Chimera. And Jeffrey, for topical one, salamander hunting packs. Apparently they're flying off the shelves.
I'll have to have a look at these.
I've seen them in a battle report and they were very good.
Yeah, I think they're very good. So a couple of people I think were playtesters and they may have bought a couple of them.
That's why they're out of stock online. Probably, yeah. Right, okay. I don't have any salamanders, unfortunately.
I think you definitely should get some. Definitely. Right, that brings us to the end of another podcast. What is next week's top three?
So, in honour of the Saga of the Beast grudge match that's going on in the 41st millennium, we want to know your top three grudge matches. Now, these can be from any universe. We'll even throw in some Lord of the Rings there if you want. But yeah, which two one-on-one fights do you are your favourites?
Excellent. You can get your entries in sharpish using the social media links, which will be read out in a few moments. And yeah, next week's going to be quite a big episode, actually, because we've got the new battle team. We've got Seraphon.
Yep.
And we've also got our tournament rundown as well. Mm. How we get on Sunday. Like I say, first, second, third, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
definitely. It's going to happen.
Or no. Another wooden spoon for you.
Or another wooden spoon. I could do with a second one.
Yeah.
So with that, we're going to call it a day, and we'll be back again next week.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast. If you like what you've been listening to, please do give us a share and a comment if you're listening via Apple Podcasts. For further content, please check out spruesandbrews.com, and you can contact us on Twitter @spruesandbrews or over on Facebook, facebook.com/spruesandbrews.